Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface here at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets just fell at the hands of the Los Angeles Kings by a 3-1 margin. And Richard, what you saw here tonight was a fringe playoff team in the Winnipeg Jets going up against a perennial playoff team in the Los Angeles Kings, and the talent disparity between the two teams couldn't have been clearer.
Yeah, Drew, there's the points-wise in the Western Conference, they're not as far apart as you might think, but on paper they are far apart, and on the ice tonight they were very far apart. There was a considerable discrepancy in terms of carrying the puck and having the puck on their stick. I mean, the Jets didn't touch the puck tonight. They had a couple of 3, 4, 5 spurts. That was it. After that, it was nothing. The Kings controlled the pace. They controlled the play. They controlled everything about the game. They had more power plays, and the Jets really weren't in this one. They obviously got the first goal. We'll break it down, but they weren't in this one.
No, and sometimes in the NHL, shots don't really tell the story. They don't tell the full story. Tonight, the Los Angeles Kings outshot the Jets 41-18.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
That did tell the story of the game and the story of who controlled the play, because the LA Kings were the far better of the two teams.
Well, you got the Carter post and the Toffoli post, too. That don't even count as shots.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, the score was only 3-1, which really did flatter the Winnipeg Jets. Andre Pavlik was the best player on the ice for the Jets tonight by far. Mm-hmm. He made, all sorts of key saves, big saves throughout the course of the game to keep the Jets just within a sniff and, within a goal until there was about 5 minutes left in the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So he almost stole it, but the Jets were not able to pull it off, losing 3-1. Let's start breaking down the goals. The Jets did open the scoring of this game at the 12:03 mark of the second period. Olli Jokinen gets the goal. It's his 15th on the year, assist to Evander Kane and Mark Stewart. And if you can explain to me who was the defenseman for the Kings here, Jake Muzzin was doing on this play, you're a better man than I am.
Well, I mean, Drew, so what happens here is Kane goes down the left wing, dumps into the corner like he always does. Doughty's the guy covering Kane. Muzzin is the guy in front of, in the slot area, backing up, covering Jokinen. And what happens is when Kane puts it in, I don't know what the communication was like. I don't know. You'd think Doughty was the one going to get it, but Kane can put some guys through the glass. You don't know if Muzzin was told he should be the one retrieving puck dump-ins. That happens sometimes. So Muzzin goes in.
Told before the game, you mean?
Yeah, or in the game, whatever
sure.
It may be. So Muzzin goes into the corner to grab the puck. You'd think, oh, what are you doing? Why are you going to grab the puck? Having said that, if you watch Doughty on that play, Doughty takes a second or two to process what's happening, which is very rare because he's the best defenseman in the league, probably one of the two or three, and doesn't get over to Jokinen in time. So then Muzzin's jump looks even worse, and then Doughty looks bad by not getting the guy in front. So, you could blame a bit on Muzzin, a bit on Doughty there, but a miscommunication or just a mistake, which is rare when it involves Drew Doughty, and you're down 1-0.
Yeah, and Olli Jokinen was right in front of Jonathan Quick. Nobody anywhere near him, and it's a one-timer pass from Kane who retrieves
his own. A nice pass by Kane, and which is rare, and a nice shot by Jokinen.
That's right. Kane retrieves his own pass and hits Jokinen tape to tape, and they put it past Quick, and the Jets have the 1-0 lead at that point
in time. And the game's
over. The Kings, to their credit, responded very quickly thereafter. It only took them 42 seconds to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets couldn't even build on the momentum of having the lead. 42 seconds later, Dustin Brown gets his 12th of the year, assist to Jared Stoll and Slava Voynov. And on this play, Dustin Brown is at the side of the Jets net, and he beats Adam Party, in a battle.
Yeah, a battle a little bit. I mean, Pav gets across, puck just trickles through. The Kings break out of their own zone and do a little regroup. They hit Stoll in motion, meaning Stoll's going down the left side of the ice with the puck. He goes wide on Ellerby, his former teammate, and is able to make a backhand pass. Sees Brown. Brown is streaking from blue line in, so Party knows he's coming. Stoll has a good vision there, sees that Brown's going. He goes wide on Ellerby, makes a backhand pass across the ice. Great backhand pass. Goes hits Brown. I don't know if he had a stick. I think it hit his skate. And then the puck trickles through. Party just misses Brown, although Brown wasn't wide open. Just the puck bounced and then bounced in. So, Party's got to take his man probably a little better. And Pav, it's hard for Pav to blame Pav when that trickles through. But Great play by Stahl. You got to give credit to Stahl there.
Yeah, and Dustin Brown does what Dustin Brown usually does, which is go hard to the net and get dirty goals all within, you know, a foot or 2 feet of the goal crease.
That's absolutely
and
correct.
And it's a trademark Dustin Brown goal right there. So after, so it's 1-1 at this point in time. There's about 8 minutes to go, 7 minutes to go in the second period. And, like we've said, the Kings have just been dominating the course of the play. The first period was probably the most even of the three periods. But the Kings have got all the momentum. It's 1-1. The Jets, you know, desperately need to get out of the second tied, really, to keep this game in hand. They don't do that, though. At the 16:15 mark of the second period, Mike Richards gets his 9th of the year. It's an unassisted goal, and Toby Enstrom's going to look at the video, and he's going to say to himself, what in God's name was I doing?
Yeah. Toby Enstrom goes, has the puck at the blue line in the defensive zone.
Yeah, the Jets' own blue line.
And he makes a pass across the seam. And if you know, if you read the scouting report, if you were paying attention in the game, you don't make that pass. And if you know Richards is out there, you don't make that pass because Richards was waiting for it. And he didn't think that pass was going to be made. And not only was the pass made, and I don't think it would have made it if it was a hard pass, but it was he didn't get all of it. Mm-hmm. So Richards jumps up, picks up the puck, goes up the ice. Carter streaking to his right. They're going to have a 2-on-1. Richards winds up, slap shot, top corner. Now, beautiful shot by Richards. I thought he played a good game today. He was engaged throughout. What are you going to do? I mean, that's a great player making a great play.
Yeah, that's right. It's a slap shot from probably just...
What are you going to do? You don't make that pass, but it's a great player making a great smart play, good shot. I like the way he just said, you know, hell with it, I'm just going to take that shot. And he had set up Carter with a couple nice chances tonight.
Yeah.
Carter played a nice game. He didn't. I don't know if he got any points or not, but...
He didn't.
Played a nice game.
Yeah, and Mike Richards there, and Toby Enstrom just, you know, he knows better than to make that pass. For whatever reason, he went for it. I mean, too much of a... Just, you know...
The pass is sometimes there, Drew, on that play. The problem is that he wasn't aware of either the scouting report or where Richards was or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And even if he was, didn't get all of it. So there's a couple of mistakes there.
That's right. And then Richards is, you know, Bogosian probably provides a little bit of a screen there on that play. But, you know, it's just a great shot by a guy who, even though he hasn't scored that much this year.
Well, he hasn't yet, but he gets like 5 steps into that slap shot too. You're going red line to right over the blue line. With a 2-on-1 possibility, and then you're going top corner with, you know, it's a lot of momentum for a guy who's got a good shot anyways.
That's right. 2-1 for the LA Kings after 40 minutes. Like we've said, they've completely dominated the course of the game. The Jets are going to need to pull a rabbit out of the hat in the third period.
Think about what happened yesterday, though. Kings get Gabrick for the stretch run. They know they're already going to, hopefully, they're trying to make a run, but then they get Gabrick. They feel a little more enthusiastic about their team, about their chances, about the depth that they have, Toffoli playing third line, all that stuff.
Sure.
Jets don't make a move. Lou Scheifele don't make a move. I thought that was evident tonight. Attitudes, confidence. We know the Kings are a better team anyways. I thought that was evident. I thought you saw one team that thought, we're probably not going to make the playoffs. I thought you saw one team saying, we're going to get geared up for the playoffs. I thought that was clear tonight. I really do. Regardless of organizational vision and all that stuff, that's not what I'm talking about here. That's not the scope of what I'm about to say. The point is this. When you're in the locker room and you lose one of your top two centers and nobody's brought in at all to replace him, basically that says, rightfully or wrongfully, it says, we don't think this team is worth banking on. The problem is that the guys in the room don't give a crap about the next teams. They want to go for it now. And you played Frolik at center tonight, boys.
Well, I mean, you know, we discussed this yesterday on NHL Midweek. Yeah. We said we don't know who the centerman's going to be.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Frolik did a bad job. I thought he did, you know, he was fine.
Tough position.
Yeah. I mean, he was perfectly fine. I mean, he wasn't one of the worst Jets on the ice, but the team really was outclassed. You got to see it.
They're going to have a tough time winning a lot of games down the stretch here.
Well,
I mean, you're close. Dallas was winning last check. But
4-0 Dallas over Vancouver, which is the definition now of trash fire.
But you're close.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a tough...
It's a tough fight. This is now Dallas's...
it always was.
I know it always was.
We said that from the outset.
Right. But now,
but Phoenix now, I mean, I think is a better shot than the Jets there.
And sure, Phoenix upgraded.
Might have had a better shot before because they were in a better position before, you know, 2 days ago. But
they upgraded. Certainly problems for the Jets right now. The Kings ended up making a 3-1 at the 15:51 mark of the third period. It's on the power play. Blake Wheeler's in the penalty box. He takes a high-sticking penalty on the forecheck. Incidental, but
that's not a big deal. I mean,
it's a play a guy trying to get a tying goal, and he ends up taking a penalty by mistake.
Yeah, Setoguchi's stupid trip in the offensive zone, I'd be more concerned.
Well,
about.
You know, we can talk about the impact of Devin Setoguchi in this game, but we wouldn't say anything because that was his impact.
That's right.
Alec Martinez walks in from the blue line. It's just after Tyler Toffoli has hit the post. or pardon me, hit the crossbar on the power play. Alec Martinez walks in and just wires a wrist shot past Pavlik.
What Evander Kane is doing on this play, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it looked like a guy. It looked like a team on a 5-on-3 letting a defenseman walk in from the blue line.
The angle he took at the blue line on Martinez was just laughable.
Yeah, he let you know, he gave him the middle of the ice.
He's not a bad defensive player. He busts his ass a lot, but just a terrible angle. And then he was just caught standing still. If you saw it, Enstrom maybe wants to get out a little bit more on that and try and block the shot. But whatever. You know what? It's this was not a close game. It should have been 5-1. It was 3-1, and we've got to regroup for Ottawa, a team that's also struggling right now. You get them on Saturday at 2 o'clock here, Hockey Night in Canada again.
Yeah.
Then you're playing Colley, who's just been great all year, really.
Monday.
And yeah. Wednesday you got Vancouver, who just has a train wreck. And then Friday you got, you know, the reinvigorated New York Rangers.
It's not an easy schedule.
And Sunday, I think you got Carolina? Or
no, I think the following Sunday it's Dallas.
Dallas, that's right. Yeah. So, hey, I mean, you know, you got to put this one behind you, as you always hear Paul Maurice say. And you're playing Ottawa, Vancouver, Rangers, call. I mean, it's not the most difficult schedule.
No, but Ottawa's a team that's had some good success here at MTS Center. They won a number of...
Well, they'll be desperate. They just came through Edmonton and Calgary and lost both games.
That's right, and they still have designs on making the playoffs out of the East.
Yeah, those are fading quick. Yeah. So.
It'll be tough. It'll be tough for the Winnipeg Jets, especially after losing Mark Scheifele and everything else. This was not a...
You know, Drew, but...
I know.
This team, and it's bad timing, and he's certainly been playing well and all that stuff, and we know that. But this team has not gotten a lot of injuries this year.
Not a lot of serious. Well, I mean, they lost Evander Kane he's missed a number of games.
Look at the other teams in the league.
You're right. Besides Kane,
I don't know what they are for man games lost, but I bet you they're in the top 10 in terms of least games lost.
Well, or the guys who've been injured are,
Kane was hurt.
Kane
and Trouba was hurt for a bit.
Yeah, but a lot of the depth guys were injured, which isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, but those guys. I mean, you're looking at.
I know.
Yeah, Bogosian for a bit.
Yeah.
But you're not looking at like Stamkos for 4 months,
no,
3 months.
It just
right?
goes to show you the lack of organizational depth.
Right.
I mean,
on that point, and we'll talk about this on Saturday, but everybody's pouring on the lack of organizational depth a lot. But they knew that before the season. So if you're that concerned about the depth from third line, fourth line till your AHL team, then sign a couple of guys who can play in the NHL at the NHL level for $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah.
Now you got to work it cap wise, but you can do it if you really want to be creative. And you don't have to worry as much about the gap because you have NHL players. Right now, tonight's fourth line was an AHL line.
Sure.
Aside from Jim Slater, who I wonder if they'll use more. I mean, what is his total ice time today?
Jim Slater was on the ice for 7 minutes and 18 seconds. Yeah. To be honest, I thought the fourth line, when the few shifts
sure.
they were on the ice, played okay.
I appreciate that, but I mean,
I know.
He played 4 minutes, Tangredi, and Peluso played five. I'm certainly not campaigning for them to play anymore. Matt Halaschuk played 14:31.
I know.
So, I mean, can Jim Slater not get in there? Why is Matt Halaschuk playing twice as much as Jim Slater's playing?
Well, because Halaschuk's playing right wing.
Doesn't matter. You don't have any centers.
I know. Well.
So put Frolik with Slater and somebody. I mean, with Sigurd, whatever you want to do. Just Jim Slater should not be playing half as much ice time as Matt Halaschuk. I'm sorry. That I don't agree with.
We'll talk about it more on Monday, like you said. The Jets next in action Monday afternoon. Pardon me.
We'll talk about
Saturday. Saturday. Pardon me.
You want to just press the mute button?
No, I meant Saturday
some
afternoon.
Might want us to do that.
Yeah, probably more than one. More than
yeah,
some
more
people.
Than one,
Saturday
yeah.
afternoon, the Winnipeg Jets next in action against the Ottawa Senators here at MTS Center. 2 p.m. puck drop. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on the air 8 a.m. Saturday on TSN 1290. For my colleagues Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, although he wasn't here tonight, so he was in the stand. So I'm not sure why I'm giving him credit. Richard Pollock's the analyst. Michael Remus is the producer. I'm the host, Drew Mandel. Stay tuned for audio from both the Jets and the Los Angeles Kings dressing rooms. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.